Well, God is good. And he's cleansing his temple. That's what I want to talk about. Cleansing his temple. For God to live in heaven is no problem, because everyone in heaven worships him, and voluntarily. And everyone on earth doesn't. And so he's only got us. He's only got Christians. We're the only ones that worship him. Yeah, because there's a secret to the kingdom of God. You can't be moral. I'm going to say it again. You cannot be moral.
Amen.
You cannot be moral. Everyone believes that Christianity, the only reason it exists is to make you moral. It's a lie. As a matter of fact, he's so much against it that it's the only evil on this earth is to be moral. So, if he's cleansing his temple, he's separating the good from the evil. And it's evil to be moral. Why? Now, I'm just going to quote scripture to you. The scripture is very clear that if you're not born of the Spirit, you're no part of God. But if you're born of the Spirit, chair 4, then you're also filled with the Spirit, chair 5. Then you're also led of the Spirit, chair 6. And therefore, you're a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such things when he comes back. So, I'm not teaching it to you because you'll understand, because you'll fight. Everything in you will fight against what I'm saying. Moral is man at his best state. That's people doing something for God. The very thing he hates. The very thing he hates is, I don't want you to be nice. I don't want you to be moral. I don't want you to behave. I want to do it myself. So, is Jesus your righteousness, or are you the key to your righteousness? Everyone believes that the purpose of Jesus was just to help you to be righteous. No, the opposite. So, I'm teaching what Christianity teaches, not what men live. God does not want you to be moral, nice, clean, happy, and so on and so forth. As a matter of fact, this is scripture. As a matter of fact, the scripture wants you to be ungodly. Now, all of you are. I mean, I'm not saying anything interesting. I'm just telling you, you are ungodly even though you're born again. Chair 4. That's not the perfect man. Chair 4 has to end up in chair 6. Otherwise, it won't be ready for chair 7, which is a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, because only Jesus is holy. Only Jesus is righteous. Only Jesus is perfect. So since he is your righteousness, you don't have any. You're free. You're free in Christ, but you're not free otherwise. You're not free otherwise. Now, I would say, I'm exaggerating just to make a point. I would say that most ministers don't preach what I'm preaching. They do believe you can be righteous on your own. They believe in the Tower of Babel. They believe that you can build the kingdom of God without God. But you cannot. You have to be in relationship to Jesus. Otherwise, you can't be built by God. And Jesus is the one that builds you. He's the vine, you're the branches. So he builds you from 4 to 5 to 6 so that you can be 7. So, since he is your righteousness, you don't have to worry about sinning. You do it every day. You have fear, anger, lust, bitterness, etc., etc., etc. So every day, even though you want to overthrow your sins, you can't. Every day, even though you want to overthrow it forever, but you can't. So you have no righteousness in you, never have, never will, even though you're born again. That's just the beginning. But it's not he who begins, it's he who endures through chair 5 in order to, chair 6, be a lover. Perfect love is what Jesus is coming back for, and that's what seats you in chair 7. So, the reason I teach this is because it's in the Bible. Not only that, it's the only thing that works for me. The only thing that works for me is to have a God who is good, and I'm not. The only thing that works for me is to have a God who is good, and I'm not. And I'm not trying to be. I'm not wanting to be. I'm wanting to just be a housing for Jesus, a temple. And I'm only one part of that temple. You are also part of that temple. He's cleansing his temple. I'll give you a scripture. If you sin, and if you say you don't sin, you sin. But if you say you don't sin, but if you sin, he's faithful and just to forgive. Chair 4. So he forgives you. There's no question about forgiving you. But forgiving you leaves you in your sin. Even though he forgives you for your sin, you still have it. He just forgave you while you were yet a sinner. So he forgives you in this chair 4. And then people stop right here because this is all they can handle. Well, Jesus forgives me. He loves me. Yes, that's true. He loves everybody, though. So he doesn't just love you. He loves everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish. Whoever believes on him. So our religion is different than all the other religions. We're not under a law. We're not under pressure. We're not under any kind of you do it yourself. No, he ended that in Abraham, the father of faith. He ended that by saying, I don't want you to be holy by yourself. I want you to be holy because I am holy through you, with you, in you, for you. In other words, I do it all. Amen. You're the branch inside, and you didn't make yourself inside the vine. The God the Father, who is the vine dresser, grafts you in to his Son. God was in Christ grafting. He was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. This is all God's glory. God's glory is that you allowed yourself by faith, not by works of the law. By faith, not by works of the law. By faith, not Jewish. You're not Jewish. You're not Jewish. I'm not talking about ethnicity. I'm talking about you don't have the Jewish blood. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you don't have the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus forgives you all your sins, but also the blood cleanses you. So it's even though you're forgiven, you're not cleansed. He is faithful and just to forgive you for all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness means all. 4, 5, 6. So you're not perfected. Today no one is perfected. You're not perfected. No one is perfected until you arrive at chair 6. And then when you're ready, the wise virgin is ready for the bridegroom to come back. And when you're ready, he'll come back. So he's not ready yet. He's not ready yet. So what I'm teaching you is true Christianity, not the kind of that you'd get anywhere else. It's not true what men say. Jesus was not ethical. He was not moral. He was not ethical. He was not moral. That's all man-made. All man-made. All man-made. That's wood, hay, and stubble. It'll burn up on the day of Jesus Christ because you don't have any righteousness in yourself. Amen. You just have Jesus. He is your righteousness. Amen. And if you're not connected to him intimately, you're not righteous. can only be righteous because you've been forgiven. Then you become a disciple. You're a believer. Now you become a disciple. Now you're a lover. Justification, sanctification, glorification, that produces the bridal throne. In other words, you're ready, you're of age, you're ready to be married. Now, what I'm teaching is true Christianity. Old Testament and New Testament both teach what I just taught. Both. So everything in the Bible is teaching the same thing. Old Testament and New Testament. If you read the Old Testament according to the letter of the law, you die. That's the tree of trying to know good and evil on your own. That's why you can't know good and evil. You do not know good and evil. Evil is that a holy God loves unholy people. How can that be? He does. We're the only people that have that, is God loves unholy, ungodly people. You have to be ungodly. That's your qualification. Your only qualification for being a Christian is that you're ungodly. Now, why teach this? Well, because it's in the Bible. And besides, I think he's coming back soon for his bride. So, how soon? Who knows how soon? We don't know the day or the hour or anything else. So, but between now and then, you have to separate out from the harlot. The church that's harlotress is a church that's moral, even though it acts immorally. It believes in morals, but it acts immorally. Everybody. The moral law is written on your heart by nature. By nature, everybody has a moral heart. I can be good. Yeah, it's a nice idea. But ideas have consequences. Nobody ever on earth has ever lived a moral, clean, nice life. You can't go to heaven based on what you do. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It says that. You have to take that literally. Now I do. So the fact that you live with people that are immoral doesn't bother you at all. You live with people around you that are immoral. Even if they don't do it all the time, they do it 100% of the time. Because they believe that they can establish their own righteousness. But Jesus said, God said, only God is good. And then Jesus added these words, no one else is good but God. Now, if no one else is good but God, how can you be good? If no one else is good but God, either Jesus lied or he told the truth. So if no one else is good but God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you can't be good. Because you do not have life in yourself. So unless you're related to the one by marriage, by adoption, by being born again, unless you're married to this one who's coming back for his bride without spot, without wrinkle, without stain, without blemish, without anything flawed, you have to be perfect by faith. You have to be perfect by faith. You can't be perfect under a law because no one has ever kept the law. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, once I'm a Christian, yes, but if you're a Christian, you have faith that Jesus forgave you, but not that he cleansed you. He forgave you, but now I have to be cleansed as a disciple. There I had faith for justification. Now I want to be discipled, so I submit to him so that he can then cleanse me from all unrighteousness, so I'll be a lover. And when men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father. Your Father. They won't glorify you. Even though they see your good works, they won't glorify you. Even though they see your good works, because they know you didn't produce those, but it's the work that shows that God did. Because you're the branch in the vine, and that produces fruit which you didn't do. Jesus is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and so on. So all those nine fruits of the Spirit are something Jesus does. To God be the glory. To God be all the glory. Now, what I taught you, you will not remember because everything in you fights it. Everything in you fights that because you know you have to behave. Everybody teaches us to behave. The government, your parents, all authority on earth teaches you to behave, including the church. But it's not God's church if it's teaching you to be moral when God hates it. Now, I can prove it with thousands of scriptures, but just to name a few. Man at his best state is altogether... No, I didn't make this up. This is in the Bible. Man at his best state is altogether nothing. It agrees with, apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, nothing is like nothing. So when you do something and you thought you did something, you actually didn't. So when you're actually being nice, you just suppressed your unnice self. That's all. You just simply suppressed it. You wanted to be angry at the person, but you didn't show it. Amen? Amen. Now, the reason I'm saying this is good news. This is good news. This is really good news. That you don't have to be what you're not. That's a hypocrite. A hypocrite is being someone that you're not. Jesus hates hypocrisy because it didn't come from the heart. So you need a new heart, new soul, new body, and you'll be a new creation. And so he's coming back for a new creation church without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. Now, I know nobody here disagrees with me. You can disagree, but it's not biblical what you say. The Bible from beginning to end, I mean, the very first thing he said to him, don't eat of the tree. Of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, don't partake of that tree because you will never know good and evil. I define good and evil. I'm your parent. So God, being the parent, teaches a child, hey, take that shirt off. You're going to church today. Get your white shirt on. You know, that parents do that to children. And children obey. Or they get a spanking because they didn't obey. But we're not trying to teach our children to be moral. We're trying to teach them to be filled with the Spirit of God. Born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. We're a spiritual people. So, what... And I was at a church yesterday. Meets on Saturday. And they also... I mean, it was just clear as can be. Jesus was moral, and he wants you to be moral. Well, I mean, that's what everyone believes. Everyone. I have never met anyone that doesn't. I'm sure there are, but you don't have to be moral. Jesus is clean, and he's not moral. He is led of the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. He is a spiritual person. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, I'm teaching you the truth because it's good news. It's really good news not to have to behave yourself all the time. Why? Because you can't. You cannot. You cannot. And you're married to a person who doesn't either. Or you had parents that weren't either. And so you'll notice that, I don't know if you ever grew up, but if you ever grew up, you realize, I'm not going to be like mom or dad. That's what you grow up thinking. I'm sure you've already thought of that. You've already seen your dad do something wrong. Is that right? Yes. And you've decided, you know, when I grow up, I'm not going to do that. That's bad. On the other hand, you don't know what good and bad is. How about this? God loves sinners. He's a holy God, but he loves unholy people. That's in the fourth chapter of Romans, verse 5. Fourth chapter of Romans, verse 5. Peg, you can quote that. Go ahead, try.
But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted as righteousness.
So, your faith is counted by God. as unrighteousness because you're ungodly. So he only came for the ungodly. In fact, he said this, "Don't think I came for the righteous. I only came for the ungodly who repent." But the word repent does not mean stop sinning, be moral, start doing what's right. It does not mean that. Repentance means comfort yourself. The opposite of what people think. It doesn't mean stop being moral. It means start being spiritual by believing that God has forgiven you for all your sins. Now he's cleansing you from all sins. He's not only forgiving you, he's removing it. He's taking it away by your connection to him, which makes you a lover, which means men, when they see your good works, they'll give the glory to the Father in heaven. So I could prove it over and over again. I'm not wanting to prove it. I said enough. Don't be moral, be spiritual. Don't be moral, be spiritual. Be led of the Spirit. Be born of the Spirit. Be completely immersed in the Spirit. Why? Because you live in an unseen world. The world that you're living in down here is not the real world. This is not your home. You're born of the Spirit. You now have a new birth. Now he wants to grow you up until you're an adult. Little children, young men, mature fathers. It's just always threefold. The atonement is threefold. First, to forgive your sin, then to cleanse you from all sin so that you become a lover, so that you then can become the bride of Christ. Now, the bride, if she has one flaw, one spot on her, the bridegroom can reject her. It's not talking about spots on a dress. He's talking about sin in your life. One sin eliminates you. And in the Bible, it says that when he comes back, he's going to find the bride with no spot. She won't have a blemish. She won't have a spot. Like on the way to the wedding, she had her dress on and a car came by and splashed her and she is all spotted. He can reject her. He can say, "You're not my bride." Because it's not that you did something. It's that he did something and he's living through you. When God is glorified, it's when you are holy that you didn't produce. That God produced because you were related to his son already. Because he is now your Savior, Lord, Bridegroom. Savior, Lord, Bridegroom. He saved you by forgiving you. Now he's cleansing you as Lord, because lords make commands. And now he is glorifying himself through you because it's his works of love. All the works of love that come out from you are totally, you're a mature Christian. You're a mature Christian. Now everything in you, again, wants to argue with what I'm saying, but I'm just telling you what the scripture says, Old and New Testament. That's why the Jews are under the yoke of bondage, because they're still under the law, and they're trying to behave themselves. And they're at the Western Wall, and they're nodding and trying to be holy and so on. You can't do that to please God. That doesn't please God at all. It's completely vain, empty, worthless, nothing. So, there's a blindness that's on Israel that thinks that if I behave myself and establish my own righteousness, God will accept me. Not so. Jesus Christ is your atonement. He is your righteousness. He is the sacrifice. He is the one that God sent on the earth so that you don't kill Isaac. You see, God said to Abraham, "Look, I know you love me, but you know, ever since you had Isaac, you're kind of in love with him more. So I want you to go on Mount Moriah and sacrifice him." Well, the whole nation that they were in was full of sacrifices and, you know, doing things that please God and warding off spirits and so on and so forth. So they knew about atonements and sacrifices and offerings and so on. Let's do something good for God. Kill your son. I'm not going to do it. All the nations do that. It's paganism. You're asking me to do something that I can't do that. The Messiah is going to be born through Isaac. You said that. So he had a dilemma inside of himself. But he decided, I'm not going to tell Sarah, but I'm just going to go with the lad and we're going to worship on Mount Moriah. And that's all she's going to know. Because otherwise, if I kill him, I will come home and she'll kill me. So he was about to, he arranged the wood, he arranged the fire, he arranged everything, had it all ready. He had the fire, he had the wood, he had everything. And Isaac, his son, said to Abraham, "Abraham, my father, here's the wood, here's the fire. Where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" This is Genesis 22, verse 8. Here's his answer. "My son, God himself will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Now that's in the middle voice. That means it's reflexive. That means it the verb then moves back on the actor, the one doing it. It's reflexive, meaning when you do that, that God himself will provide for himself a lamb, not one of your lambs, not Isaac. He will provide his own lamb from heaven, perfect. So, Jesus said, that day, I showed up there and he saw my day 2,000 years earlier. That day, he saw 2,000 years, Jesus said, he saw my day 2,000 years ago. And after that, his eyes were open because the angel said to him, don't do it. Leave the lad alone. Why? Because I see now that you believe in me. Just having you almost ready to stab him, I realize, wow, you would make that sacrifice. And this is the New Testament says. He believed that if he killed his son, God would raise him up again by resurrection. So we know what he believed. That he believed, if I do this to prove that I'm worthy, you're never worthy. You're ungodly. You can't be worthy by killing your own son. He ended human sacrifice. Right there. For the Jewish people, they never, ever did it again. Because they realized you can't do that to please God. So, he sacrificed his own son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to be the perfect sacrifice that forgives my sins, cleanses me from all sin, purifies me and perfects me so that I can be the bride that he's coming back for. Now, what I'm just telling you is what the Bible says a gazillion times, over and over. Every page of the Bible says what I just said. You cannot go to heaven except by faith. You cannot go to heaven except by faith. You can only go to heaven if you also know that anything you do will not be perfect. If it was, you didn't do it. If it was perfect, Jesus Christ in you. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. That's the glory of God. The glory of God, that God was in Christ, who's inside of you. It's inside of you. Jesus actually lives inside of you as his temple. You are the temple, God says. He doesn't say you're going to be. He says now. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. In other words, you're filled with his spirit. So he says, even on earth, people give good gifts to their children because they're moral. They could give. But how much more the Heavenly Father will give you his Holy Spirit. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the power. This is where the power comes from, not here. The power of the blood is to forgive your sins, but not to cleanse you. It's to forgive you, but not cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All, meaning all. The good work I began in you, I will surely complete. The good work I began in you, I will surely complete. So Jesus is now your perfect righteousness, because he's perfect. So, before I go on, is there anyone here who understood what I said intellectually, not in your spirit or something? You just understood it intellectually. Yeah, he's saying don't be moral, but and I did say that. But I'm saying it to teach you something about how much God loves you, that even while you're a sinner, he forgives you. And he'll forget anybody. Amen. Did you know that God is not pleased because a sinner dies? But when a sinner dies, he's not, oh, wow, I always wanted that. No, that's not God. That is not God. He's not blessed because a sinner dies. He died for all men. When he died, he died for all men. Now, you're probably aware of that. That he died for everybody, including all the people you can think of that you think are no good. But you see, we're all exactly alike. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, since all have sinned, you're no better than anyone else. You're exactly like everyone else. You're exactly like everyone else. Well, that person's demonic. Oh. And that is demonically clever of you to see that. To see that the person you're living with is demon possessed. Because we know that's wrong. How many know that's wrong? But the point is, I wouldn't judge other people. I would postpone your judgment. Yeah. Because he said, even pray for your enemies, love your enemies, bless your enemies. Pray for, love, bless. That's enemies! Enemies! And you know what Jesus did on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They have no idea. They're ignorant of your grace, of your mercy, of your pleasure, that you want to save sinners. All. Now, since he takes no pleasure in seeing a sinner die, he sent his own son on earth to die. Voluntarily, happily. Because he is the lamb that God provided for a burnt offering. That's Jesus. So that's how much Jesus loves you, is that while you're yet a sinner, he doesn't write you off. It's just like having a child. You know that when a child misbehaves, you spank them in chastening them in hope that they'll learn something. But it often takes more than a week to learn something as a child. The first time you tell him something, did you hear what I said? Yeah. Could you repeat it? It'd be good. They don't know what you're saying, but whatever it is, they're impressed. But 3 minutes from then, when you said stop running or whatever you said, they'll be running. They forgot. And they said, didn't you understand what I said? Oh yeah. I did wrong. You know, whatever. But that doesn't mean they had the concept, but they didn't have the reality. The reality is Jesus Christ will make this real to you. That you cannot be good, and as long as you live, you will not be good. As long as you live, you will not be good. You'll not be perfect. You'll not be acceptable to God. Unless you're a Christian by faith, not seeing it, believing it, not seeing it, believing it. Blessed are the ones that not seeing, yet believe. He said to Thomas. You know, the only reason you believe now is because you see me and you've seen my wounds and so on and so forth. So now you believe because you see. But blessed are those that without seeing, they yet believe. So we are believers. Why? Because you can't check it out. There's no way you can check that out on earth. There's no way. I mean, I want to see it. Wouldn't you be like Doubting Thomas? It's like, well, I'd like to see that before I just believe that. I'm from Missouri or something. like to see it. I'd like to see it with my own eyes. Well, don't you want to believe right now without seeing? No, I want to see it. If I could see it, then I could believe it. How many know you cannot trust your eyeballs? You cannot trust the fact that you see something. You can be deceived so easily. You could marry a person and actually it turned out to be a big mistake. I'm not thinking of anybody here. I'm just thinking theoretically. You could marry somebody, it's a big mistake. Because you thought you married a Prince Charming. But once you get married, he's not so charming. And you realize things you didn't know that when you were dating. Now, I hope that, David, that didn't happen to you. That you actually turned out to be the Prince Charming.
Oh, you're talking
that,
about me.
Yeah, right.
No, probably not. My knight fell off his horse.
Yeah, the knight fell off his horse.
Good thing it wasn't a long fall.
Because all of us have sinned. All have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, you're not Jesus. You're not even an angel. You're nothing. Because you don't have life in yourself. But when Jesus comes into you and marries you, you get all that he has. When Jesus marries you. Now, does this make sense? No. What makes sense is behave yourself. That makes sense in this world. I mean, the number of people that are moral are always going to outweigh the number of people that are not. I'll say it again. The number of people that are moral, clean, nice, always outweigh. But that doesn't mean they're really, really nice for heaven. That just means they behave themselves. How many know you can be a hypocrite? The Jewish people did it this way. I wanted your heart. I didn't want you to have lip service. And so the Jewish people worship God with their lips. But their heart is far from me, God says. I didn't say it. God said it. Said it in the Old Testament. So the Jewish people, I'm not going to accept one of them except by faith. Abraham I'll accept. Isaac I'll accept. King David I'll accept. Because those people had faith. And they're the only ones that are mentioned in the New Testament in chapter 11 where the saints of the Old Testament are enumerated. That is a representative. Among whom are these? But there's more. Anyone that believed on Jesus in the Old Testament was counted, it was counted to him as righteousness. I count that as righteous, even though no one here is righteous. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so no one here is righteous. You're not going to be righteous, that is, you won't look like it, until heaven. When the trumpet sounds and Jesus descends and you go up because you got a new body as soon as the trumpet sounds, you will then be perfect. You'll then be perfect. That is, you'll look like, act like, and perfect. But now, there's always a flaw. For example, yesterday I lied, but today I'm proud of the fact that I haven't sinned all day today. I'm humble about that. Which makes you proud that you're humble. Thank God, I learned my lesson yesterday and I'm not proud anymore. You cannot escape sin. I mean, one way or another, you're not going to be moral. You're not going to be holy. You're not going to be righteous. So it's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift. Freely you have received, freely give. So since it's a gift, you have to love people by faith. You can't love them in fact. Anyone that you meet is going to be not perfect. Anyone that you meet, live next to, is not going to be perfect. So don't even develop an eye that I have the gift of the Holy Spirit, I can discern who's good and evil. You don't have that. Because you're evil to have that eye. Forget that eye. Because you don't know anything about anyone else. So it's a big risk today. When you marry somebody, it's a big risk that they may not be what they're cracked up to be. Right? And so you have to have a little sense of humor when you get married. That you marry a person that's not perfect. They have to have that. Because on the wedding day, it seems like everything's perfect. It's all, you know. And they lived happily ever. It isn't like that. It's not like that. You marry someone, you realize that person has a will that doesn't agree with mine. I don't know if David, you and Janet always agree on everything, but there's probably some things you don't agree on. Is that right?
You're not. Yeah.
You,
I'm going to answer that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I wanted you to answer that. Because she has a will and you have a will, and sometimes they don't agree. Well, everybody's like that. Everybody has a will, and sometimes they oppose your will. And that's why people don't get along, nations don't get along, businesses don't get along, anything. Nothing that man undertakes can get along. So that's why the Tower of Babel fell. And it'll never be finished. Ever. Because it's built on morality. It's built on morality. Nimrod said to himself, "Let us make heaven on earth without God." That's a clever idea. What a clever idea. Let's not have God because he, you know, floods you and, you know, next time will be fire or something. Let's do it without God. Let's try to make heaven on earth without God. Peace when there is no peace. Peace when there is no peace. There's no peace with God. Did you know the only peace that God is interested in at his, that you have enmity against him because of his law being moral, but you cannot keep his law? Never. You can set a goal for yourself. From now on, I won't lie. But you will. You just did. You will lie. From now on, Peggy had this when we got married. I will never confront my husband. You know, if he says something, I'll go along with it. I'm never going to confront him. Because her parents were arguing all the time. And so she realized, she made this vow, when I get married, I will always submit to my husband. Well, as soon as we got married, within 1 hour, maybe 2 hours, I knew immediately, Peg is not going to obey. I mean, for the rest of my life, I need to realize this. It's only 2 hours that I was married. And already, I asked her, Peg, we have to go 5 hours for our honeymoon. And since it's already thus and so time, could we get ready right now? And she said, I didn't hear you. So I decided, okay, maybe she didn't hear me. So I'll wait a few minutes and then I'll tell her again. So I told her again, Peg, I think it's time to get going now, because now it's only 4 hours away and it's 5 hours to get to Vermont or wherever we were going. And so then I decided, well, this is not working because now we're married. She doesn't need to be here with all of her folks and so on and so forth. She needs to be coming with me, her husband, who's now in charge of everything. And again, she, what? Peg, I want to go right now. What is wrong with you? I'll go. Well, all of a sudden, I met a person that's not submitted to me at all. And I realized the word submit does not mean what I thought it meant. I thought I was the head of the house, and she was submitted to the head. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? And so she resisted, I mean, all those times, and I think, oh, well. And so this is not going to work, because I thought when we got married, we wouldn't argue anymore, that she'd submit to me. But now she's taken that off. And she's not going to do it. So, oh my God, what have I done? I misunderstood marriage. I thought marriage was the husband was the head. And she was submitted to the head. You remember in the Bible it said that God is over Christ. God, his Father, was over Christ. And Christ was then submitted to him as head, kephale. So he was hupotasso, submitted to her, to his head, the Father. As the Father to the Son, so the Son to every man, so every man to his wife. I thought that made perfect sense. As soon as I get married, I'll be the head of the house. I'm not now, but as soon as I'm married, I'll be able to exercise that right. And I told her umpteen times, and it didn't work. So, I won't tell you what happened next, but it wasn't good. Because I was silent the whole way there in 5 hours to get there on time when I knew that there's no way we can make it on time. So I was impatient. I was angry. I was mad. I was frustrated, not at her, at myself for making a mistake. Whoa. We were together. Everything was clean, nice, perfect. But now that I'm married, I realize I have no authority over this other woman. She has a perfect will of her own. And it's not going to do me any good to talk about it because it's not her problem. It's mine. I married someone. Do you want to stay married? Could you go to the Pope and he'll give an annulment? You want to be married to her? Yes. Why? I don't know. I'm an idiot, I guess. But I want to be married to her. So I'm not going to quit right now. So are you going to be married even though she won't obey? Yes. Are you sure? No. Yes. I don't know. And so I realized my illusion disappeared. My illusion that you're going to marry a perfect person that will always do what you say is nonsense. I should have married the Oriental. Because don't they say, here's your slippers and here's your shoes and I'm up at 5 and so on and so forth. I realized that's not going to work here. So I should have married an Oriental because I know they always say yes, sir, and all that kind of stuff. Now, God doesn't want you to be moral. He wants you to marry an immoral person because you're immoral and just relax, rest in God. God knows what he's doing. How many know you married people that are just right for you? Just right for you, right? Because they are a sinner and they'll sin and that brings out your sin and then you realize you're equal. Is that true, Kathy?
That is true.
Does he bring out your sin?
Yes, he does.
Sometimes. A daily, maybe. Hourly.
Doesn't take much.
Yeah. Right. So everyone realizes there's no peace on earth. Because we can't get along with our neighbors. That's why the Bible ends with these words. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Now the Bible calls that the end of the law. The second table of the law is love thy neighbor as thyself. There's 6 commandments for that one. There's only 4 for God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. And the end of the law, because love is the end of the law, is love your neighbor as yourself. That's the sign that you're a true believer. So this is what Jesus is coming back for, this bride who's ready to be married to him. No spot, no wrinkle, no any such thing, because they died here, because they were born here to die, to resurrect here, so that when men see your good works, they won't glorify you. They'll glorify your Father, which art in heaven. Because the only way this world's needing Christians who actually aren't moral, but they're actually led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. You see, you can't make men behave. Obama tried that. Obama tried to make everybody all join together as one. Silly idea. Because nobody is going to be one on religion. They're not going to be one on anything. They have different opinions. They have different ways of looking at everything. And so he tried to squeeze everyone and be a god over the people. And we'd all unite under him. And he was so disappointed that we all didn't want single payer. And we didn't want all those things. We didn't want the government telling us what to do in areas that we thought belonged to us. We thought that's between us and the doctor, and if I don't want that doctor, I go to another. But he thought this is the idea to make a welfare, a great society, blah, blah, blah. When America did that, it was trying to build a kingdom of God on the earth. He would like to be the emperor of the world. He would like to be the boss. But disappointing. And Hillary thought, it's my turn. Ladies' turn. My turn. My turn. And I knew she was going to win. I was certain of it. There's no way she can lose. I mean, just look at the numbers. He'd have to get all the Republican votes, which he can't get because they don't even like him. And then he'd have to get some of hers even. There's no way she can make it. But I was actually sitting there at 4 o'clock writing down on the numbers. This one has this many votes and this one. To get 270, it's going to be impossible. And I wrote them down every time. Well, there's no way. He can't get all four of those swing states. And even if he got those, he can't. But even if he did, he'd have to get some of hers. And there's no way. That's not possible. But he did. He did all of that. And it was amazing how it turned out, but I didn't believe it. So I thought, for sure, this lady is going to be president of the United States. So I prayed for her. I did, because it says, love your enemies. So I don't like her views. I'm never going to like her. I'm going to be opposed to it, and I'm going to do everything I can to fight for her. But I'm going to pray for her. And I did. I prayed for her well-being because she's going to be the president. And I have to obey. I will have to then do what she says because she's going to be the ones shaping everything. And I know she's going to continue a program that completely agrees with her predecessor and that will save him from all of the things that they've done secretly and so on and so forth. But you know what? You don't live in a perfect world. This is not your home. This is not heaven on earth. We don't yet do things that are like, as in heaven, so on earth. We don't yet do that. So, how do you do it? So easy. Jesus already did it. He already did it before the foundation of the world. He was crucified not on Calvary. He was crucified before the world began. That's when God laid him out. That's when God said, before there was a world, there wasn't any space and time and anything. Before there was a world, he already then was laid down by God as the foundation of the earth. So the whole earth is built around him. He goes, everything goes. But he can't. Because God intended for there to be a church on earth that would please him. Voluntarily. Voluntarily. That is not human flesh. Flesh cannot do that. Flesh will not go to heaven. This is spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, spiritual. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Right. This is true Christianity, what I'm telling you. And the reason it works is because this church, our church, anybody's church, can be a picture of heaven. We can actually get along with one another, because if you can love one another, you will go to heaven. If you could just love the people in this church, which I'm just looking at Alex right now, and I'm thinking, it's really hard. Because you make so many mistakes.
Totally.
I know it. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And because of that, how can I get past Alex? Or Sam? Or anybody? Because, well, even me. So, you know, we're on earth. Does this thing work? Not only does it work, it's going to work exactly as God said it will work. It's all in the Bible. It will work, not because we're going to peter out at the last minute and the bad guys will win. The bad guys never win. God always wins, and we're his people. And we will come home, and he will say, well done, good and faithful servants. You did what I wanted, Judy. You did exactly what I wanted. And you are able to do that because I'm living in you. And not only that, I who live in you, that's the hope of glory. I'm leading you to glory. I'm leading you to this perfect life on earth. We can do it by faith. You can't do it by sight. You can do it by faith. You can't do it by sight. So you could marry anybody and actually make it work if you were dead to yourself. You could make any marriage work. That is amazing here in Dallas. I wouldn't try it here in Dallas. But in Fort Worth, for almost 50 years, we've never had a divorce. And if they do have one, we fix it before they get all jumbled up in another relationship. Because marriages don't work without God, but they work with God. Marriages work with God. So God wants us to be happy all the time, and I am. I'm happy all the time. Last night, I dreamed this dream. And in the dream, I had like 200 people at church. And I've never had that. So I just like, wow, the place was packed out. And I went on and on. And so it was like, it was perfect, but I didn't know anybody. So it's not you. It's just people that I didn't know at all. But it was packed out. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And people then, after the service was over, half of them stayed. They didn't want to go home. So I bent down on my knees, prayed for them, and so on and so forth. And they just wanted to talk to each other and so on. I think, this is like heaven on earth. And so a lady said to me, this lady that I didn't know, she said, you have a nice voice. And I said, well, I've been doing this since I was little, so I didn't know how to answer right. It's all in a dream. And then I went out, and it was a big city, not Dallas or Fort Worth. It was a big city. And in the city, I was directing traffic afterward for people. Just go over here, hold there. So this was obviously a dream. But I believe that God has a sense of humor. And so you have to believe that God wants you to be happy here. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord.
Amen.
So if you trust in the Lord, then you believe his words. So believing his words means your sins are forgiven. They'll never come up. They'll never come up. God will not remember all the sins that you did. Why? He said he doesn't. So he doesn't bring them into mind. Because he's now working on you not to stay here, but to go here and be your Lord, Savior, Lord, Bridegroom. Savior, Lord, Bridegroom. Now, he's lording you to remove all sins because he wants to cleanse his temple. He wants to clean his house so that you can be the dwelling place of God. Not here, not even here, but here as my bride that's ready. So God wants to have a church that actually on earth is ready for the Lord's return. There'll be Jew and Gentile. It won't be just Gentile. Actually be Jewish people that are in the mind of God that are ready right now. They're ready. You can call them Messianic Jews, whatever you want to. But there are many Jewish people today, Sabras, born in the land of Israel, that look to Jesus and say these words, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And he said, when I come back, it's that generation that says those words among the Jewish people. So I believe, and I may go to Israel this year, I haven't decided, but if I do, that's the only reason I would go, is because I believe they're being ready. And I believe that they are ready for the gospel. It's not by works of the law. It's just by faith. And to see the Jewish people repent. To see that there are many up there. There are more in the last 2,000 years, all accumulated, than there are alive today in the land of Israel. Not even in New York or Dallas. They're right in the land. There are more believers today than ever before in the history of the world for the last 2,000 years. So there are many people, and Netanyahu has said, a friend of mine heard him say it, a friend of mine who is close to him said, he said, wow, the thing I fear is we'll have an election and a Messianic Jew will become the leader. Because if you're going to be Netanyahu, you have to have the Christians on your side. That is, believers in Jesus Christ. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah of Israel. So, you're about to see a world you have never seen before. Not now, but soon. But you have to believe this by faith. So faith is, he's forgiven your sins, now he wants you to go on and become a disciple, yield to him, submit to him, and then to be a lover, love others as yourself. That is the keeping of the commandments. So, Sam, you'll be with the first. You'll be the first. Did you preach well the other day?
I don't know yet. Yes, you did.
Yeah, of course.
Was it good?
I didn't hear it, but I just know.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. Why?
Because God did it.
Because God did it. Yeah, he didn't do it. He died so that God could live through him. Because he is in you to will and to do. To will and to do. This is believing, this is willing, this is doing. This is the chair that says, I believe in Jesus, now I'm willing to be a Christian, and now I am doing the will of God. Well done. Not well believed, not well, you know, submitted, but really, because he's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. God does everything. God does everything. Amen. If you become mature, it's purely a miracle. It's purely God. You didn't do it. You didn't even cooperate because you cannot. He did it. And you spiritually are resting. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Rest means don't work. Don't be moral. Don't be good. Don't be nice. Don't be anything. I love you just the way you are. I will fix you. I'll give you new birth. Then I'll give you new young man discipling, and then when you're mature, I'll love through you. And all those gifts are gifts of love. So that you will become a lover and you'll be ready when Jesus comes back. How many believe what I just said? You don't have to. But if you do believe that, that it isn't up to you, it's up to God to keep his promise, not you to obey the law. It's not up to you to do something, it's up to God to keep his promise. So if God can't keep his promise, he's not God. But if he keeps his promises, he keeps covenant, then he is God. He is truly God. That's why someday every knee will bow, every, without exception, will bow, and he'll confess the Lord with their mouth. Hope you're blessed today. I taught you something that I know is difficult to do. But it's all right. Keep reading. Just read the Bible, see what it says. Your righteousness is Jesus Christ. That's your only righteousness. You don't need any. You don't have any. Let Jesus do it. He's already done it. Ah, it's finished. It's finished. That's why he said on the cross, to tetelestai. It is finished. Paid in full. No more debt to pay. I paid for everything. Wow. You're set free.
Praise the Lord.
You're set free. All right.